The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to go full Suck at Felger Friday?
I need some music for that, right?
Like, if you want.
Yeah.
What like, kind of music?
The Free Friday. Like, how do you, I don't know. How do you start their show? Like something. One of those weird. Don't they play a Pearl Jam
song, typically.
Yeah. Kind of start it with that and then roll, but I kind of like
it. Oh, we need an opening thought.
Oh, hold on. Let me get set up here.
It's Friday.
I'm wiping down. You want to go first, or should I?
I'll go first.
Good, and you?
You want me to go?
Yeah, let's get past the pleasantries.
who wants to go first?
Jimmy, go ahead, release the hounds. I'm all set up.
Your phone lines are open
now. I'm wiped down. That Rich Shirtlieb, he's a disgusting human being.
617-779-0985.
Like animals in here.
Call early, call often today on this Friday.
Yep.
We'll leave it open to you.
Sleeves, how you doing? Coffee boy? Coffee house kid?
Coffee house kid. Here's my opening thought, though.
There it is. That's pretty much how it goes. Agenda free Friday, except they left out one thing, the boys. New sponsor. I want to welcome in. The fact that Agenda Free Fridays are now driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free, Maz. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com.
New sponsors
of Agenda Free Friday. I want to thank the folks at Bernardi Auto Group so much for sponsoring the most powerful day in radio. And the reason it's most powerful in radio is because it's driven by you and your phone calls. You set the agenda, so what we do is we come on here, we give you our opening thoughts while the phone lines are being loaded. And as soon as you are up and your comment lines are ready to go, I go to you. But we fill the time with our thoughts. So, Jimmy, please. Release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Murray, Mazz, who wants to go first?
Murray, sure. I know the show doesn't do predictions a whole lot, but I don't care. I like doing predictions, and I'm doing them from one of the best weekends in all of sports, Wild Card Weekend. These are my picks. If you don't like them, you can go to Twitter and yell at me like a big stupid baby like everyone always does. Colts over Houston, Dallas over Seattle, Chicago over Philadelphia, and the LA Chargers over Baltimore. Which means it's going to be the very fertile and insufferable Phil Rivers and the Chargers here next Sunday for the divisional round at Foxborough. And I know Baltimore already beat the Chargers just a few weeks ago, embarrassed them in L.A. And Rivers has kind of sucked the last three games of the season. I think it's either five or six interceptions he's thrown to match his first half total over the last three games. But that guy gets in a rhythm, watch out. They get Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen back. They're not a fluke 12-4. It's a very good roster. And I think it's from week nine on. They had three games on the road that they won. At Seattle, at Pittsburgh, and at Kansas City. The old Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, don't do that. I said after the win over Kansas City on Thursday night game, these aren't the same Chargers. They're not. That's the team you're going to see here in divisional weekend, and they're going to beat the Pets.
Excellent. Mazz?
Okay, so believe it or not, I'm going to start with baseball. Because I saw a story this morning about Craig Kimbrell and the possibility of returning to the Red Sox. And I almost swallowed my tongue when I saw it. I want nothing to do with this guy. Am I an idiot for this? I don't care if it's a one-year deal. I don't want him.
What if it's a sweetheart? One year, $10 million.
No.
What if the money is so right you can't refuse?
No, I don't want him. I don't want him. I'm done with Kimbrell.
I don't want him at any price.
No, I don't. I saw Kimbrell up close and personal. Now, look, you want to tell me that you can get him for a million bucks? $2 million, fine. But we all know that's not realistic. They offered him 17.5 as a qualifying offer. He turned it down. Now he's on the market along with everybody else. Side note, baseball offseason has yet to really begin. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are still out there. And by the way, another aside, if Machado goes to the White Sox, he's really, really stupid. Okay, so that aside. But Kimbrell, no. No thanks. Banks. Been there, done that. I was terrified bringing him into the games in the postseason. In fact, the Red Sox sidestepped him in the decisive game of the World Series. So what does that tell you? See you later. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, so that's it on Mass. Excellent. Mine is simply on the Celtics. And we'll go over some comments recently here by Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck, but I still find them a fascinating story, as do you. I can tell there's an appetite to discuss what is going on with the Celtics, and there should be. Because that still remains to me the most surprising story here in Boston sports, maybe the biggest story in Boston sports. That this team that was supposed to be so good still has not found its way, and it's still not close. And, you know, I still think we're not at a point yet where they're going to be able to figure out their issues because they're in a spot where I know they're going to do well right now. Kyrie Irving is still out, and I meant to ask you this before, is Morris going to play tonight?
He was questionable last I checked.
Okay, same with Time Ward.
Okay, so all I know is the fewer bodies they have, the better they are.
Which tells me again they have not tackled their fundamental problem, which is finding out all their roles, finding out where everyone fits, getting everyone playing well in their role at the same time. That has not happened this year, not close. Not close have they had all their big names in the lineup at the same time, playing well at the same time, firing on all cylinders. Their best moments have come when someone's been hurt and those decisions have been made for Stevens. Their best moments have come against wretched competition, but still there's guys where you look at Hayward, where's Brown, where's Tatum, there's always a full lineup play well together for any length of time. And we're now halfway through the year, just about. That to me is a staggering story.
You know what else it tells you? Depth is overrated.
Oh my God, thank you.
The idea of depth.
Oh my God, like nine, ten deep.
You're going to play them all in the playoffs? You can only have five on the floor at one time.
So I think it's fine to be nine, ten deep if eight, nine, and ten are dive on the floor, rebounding, defense. Like they're clearly defined roles, guys that aren't looking for their shot and aren't worried about their TV commercial. Like then that's fine. But if all ten of those guys think they're freaking tiny Archibald, they're in trouble.
Yeah, in which case I would say they're really not nine or ten deep. Because those guys are very specific role players that in a critical situation, you're not having out on the floor. So to me, seven, eight is plenty.
So I can see it again coming tonight. They're going to win. The more guys they have out, the better off they are. That's really what I feel. If Irving and Morris are both out, watch. You'll see it. Tatum or Brown or Hayward will have another game. I'll say, oh, see, these guys are coming.
No, they're not. Figured it out.
No, they just got the shots and they went off because they had the room to do it and the roles were clearly defined. And so that's what happened.
Watch how good Rozier is tonight.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what you're going to see. So there's your Celtics thought. We'll have more from you on that and everything else. But as promised, Gender Free Friday starts with your phone calls. Here's George in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Hi, George.
George. You guys realize that if they had the biggest slate in any other division in the NFL this year, more than likely they wouldn't be in the postseason.
Yep, that's a little strong, but they had an easy ride this year, no question about it.
And the fact of the matter is this. They got five and one or six and all before the schedule comes up because they play in the division and equivalent to Pop Warner.
So I ask you this, Murray.
Where's your asterisk board with the 10 state division titles?
Love it.
You call them as you see them.
That's me. Well, I still, even though I don't think the Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl and win the thing this year, I am a Pats defender. And I don't get upset about the AFC East and the fact that they beat up on these crap teams time and time again. The Patriots will never get an asterisk from me.
I do like the premise, however, that the 2018 season is a fake division title.
So it's not. And why you don't look against the Patriots is because then they actually win championships. It's not like they win a bad division every year and then don't come through. They've come through enough where you say, okay, I'm not going to hold that totally against them. But I do love it. I do love because now there are millions of Patriots fans across the region who are on the verge of tears or secreting something out of their backside because they just can't handle the fact that their division has sucked for 20 years. They hate that take.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, which again is please repeat your stat from yesterday. Okay, so again, before I get to that, 2018 Patriots, I'm giving them a half an asterisk right now. A half.
And if they lose the playoffs, and give them the other half.
Please repeat your stat from yesterday. It's so good.
Okay. Patriots this year, points. A point differential plus 111. That is points for minus points against. Okay, they've outscored their opponents throughout the course of the year by 111 points. 110 of those in the AFC East. The other one in the remaining 10 games. Plus 110 in the division, plus one outside it.
Wow.
Talk about a discrepancy.
Holy crap, is that a discrepancy?
Outside the division, they were six and four in the win-loss column with a point differential plus one.
Right, a point differential much more akin to five and five.
Inside the division, five and one with a plus 110 point differential.
So I don't know.
I don't know what that says. I'm not the smartest guy on the planet, but you can figure it out for yourself.
Alan in Florida on Kimball. You want to back Alan?
I mean, I started a little vacation. I wonder if when you're home, you go, holy crap. Anyway, Alan, I haven't talked to you in weeks,
and I'm already sick of you.
I know. Well, you should be, Mavs, because I know more on my little finger. I mean, you don't want maybe the second or third best closer in baseball. Hey, he's crap. You know, I root for two teams. One is the Red Sox, obviously, and the other one is the Patriots. And, you know, it's so funny. It's so funny. One has five Super Bowls. The other one wins the World Series. Everything is fake. I mean, it's ludicrous. Of course I want him back. He's the second or third best closer in baseball, so we didn't do well in the playoffs. Anybody would be out of their minds if they didn't want him back.
You're not concerned?
What is wrong with you? Alan, you just want to predict, by the way, you're a little premise. How about the Cleveland Indians? They got the Division One before the season starts, and where do they go in the playoffs? They lose every year. Patriots, by the way, I really want to talk about the Red Sox, but the Patriots win five Super Bowls.
Agreed. That's what I just said. So I don't hold those division titles against them. I just also don't say that they play in a tough division like Patriots fans want to do. So that's exactly what I just said, Alan. Right. They convert to championships. So you don't. There's nothing fake about it. Forget Kimbrel in the playoffs. How about the whole second half? How about his age?
Yes, all of it. All of the above. I'm telling you, I don't want him. I don't, because it's going to cost somewhere in the eight digits, you know, whether it's 10 million or 12 or 15. And I don't want to give that to that guy. I don't think he's worth it anymore.
Do you think they're seriously considering it?
Yeah, I think that they're not ruling out if they can get him back on a one-year deal for a song that they would consider it, yes. In which case, I would say I'd rather have David Robertson at 2 years and 23 than Craig Kimbrel on 1 and 12.
You would?
Yes. Yes, I think Robertson's more reliable than Kimbrel is. I am so down on Kimbrel right now, it's not even funny. The only good year that he really had, I thought, was 2017. I thought he was money for the most part in that year. But the rest of his time in Boston, he was good. He wasn't great. You can find that elsewhere for a lot less.
John in Charlestown, give me a Celtics take.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You keep coming back to my point, and my point is that it's the coach's fault. You keep saying they haven't figured it out. Who is they? They is the coach, okay? It's his job to figure out who to sit, who to bench, who comes off this, who does that, what combination works best. So it's not the job of the players. And, you know, while this coach did really well with weak talent, now that he's got a loaded team, he doesn't know what to do with it. He can't figure it out. I'd just like to hear your take on that.
I mean, you're right, except you're talking about a league where the coach is sort of powerless, I think. And you know, I've gone back and forth between being a Brad bot and not. And, you know, that Philly road win last year in the playoffs, you know, is what sort of converted me. But you've never heard me say that the coach can really change the nature of the players in that league. I mean, that's why that league is so challenging from a coaching perspective, because the players run the show.
Okay, but is he powerless to take away minutes?
No. So he's got to be harder on that. If Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier or whoever are off the reservation and not acting in the team interests, then DNP CD. You can do that. That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, so to me, that's where I hold him accountable.
I mean, he can't make Jaylen Brown get it. Like, I don't hold him responsible if Jaylen Brown has the wrong motivation or Terry Rozier has the wrong motivation. That's not the coach. But you're right. He does have the ability to say, I'm not going to have a 10-man rotation tonight if you're acting like a jackass.
I mean, so to me, that's where I look at Stevens as you can't be playing everybody. You can't. And I said to you earlier that depth in the NBA is overrated, which I do believe. The only reason that depth could be valuable is if you have injuries. Okay, so if you someone wanted to say to me, you got to keep Rozier because of Kyrie, you're still worried about the knee. That I allow for. But the idea that you can, you know, play 28 minutes a night, 8 guys, 10 guys, go pound sand. It doesn't work.
Agenda Free Friday, now brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. We continue with your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Well, we're always looking to upgrade our team. I mean, if those opportunities present themselves, I think that's going to be tough. I will say that, you know, just as far as trading players, you know, I don't really see much out there that we have a lot of good ones, and it's hard to get better players than we have.
It's Danny Ainge on the trade deadline. Toucher and Rich asked about, you know, trades and all this. He's looking at it backwards. They don't need to add. What do they need? Someone inside with Baines out. I mean, so someone like that. But they don't need to add per se. They need to subtract. They need to cull the herd. They need fewer mouths to feed. They need a smaller rotation. When the Celtics have played their best this year, they've had a shorter rotation because guys have been out. And you'll see it again tonight. If Irving is out, and it's just, and I'm not telling you they're better without these players. It's just where they're at right now because they haven't figured it out when they're fully loaded. But when the rotations are shorter and they're not having to play 10 guys and Stevens isn't worried about getting everyone a shot, they're much better off. And that's what they've been the last several years, oh, by the way. And so I know they can do that. Here's the paradox, though, Maz, is that they can't win a championship with that, right? They have to, for them to have the talent to win a championship, they need all those guys. So that's sort of the crux of it. You trade too many guys, well, now you're short on talent and you're not going to win anything. So it starts with the talent. It's still a classic problem to have, but it's still a problem. They haven't figured it out.
No, and again, I think some of it's on the player, some of it's on the coach. So you can affect some of that by altering the rotations, and by that I mean sitting guys. You don't play well, you don't play. It's that simple. You're not guaranteed 20 minutes every night. And it feels sometimes that there's some of that. Some of it. I'm not saying a lot because I do think Stevens pushes buttons. You know, again, Tatum in the Milwaukee game took a bad shot early in the game and Stevens pulled his ass off the floor. I like that. You have to do that with young players. Otherwise, you know what happens? They get entitled and they think they're better than they are, which is exactly what you have right here, right now. So I would say the coach needs to deliver a message that these guys aren't as good as they think they are.
Agenda Free Friday continues. Everything on the table. Cal and Winthrop on the retired number discussion from last year, but it's okay. It's agenda free. Go ahead, Cal.
No, you mentioned it the other day, Mike. You said that Dave Collins shouldn't be on that list, and I almost fell on the floor. I mean, Dave Collins, pound for pound, is one of the best Celtics of all time.
Not only should Dave Collins not be up there, they have two guys who were number 18 who shouldn't be up there. They're so ridiculous with their numbers, Cal, that they had an original number 18 up there who had to take down, that's Lasky, to put another 18 up there, and neither of them deserve it. Neither.
No, I'm going to agree that some of them are ridiculous, and Lasky is one of them. But Dave Collins, I mean, Michael, did you ever see Dave Collins play a game?
Yes, of course I did. He played for the Bucks for a little bit. He came back for the Bucks. Of course I remember Dave Collins.
Okay. I just was wondering, you know, with your age, and I mean, it was almost 40 years ago that he played.
No, I got it. What, he went two?
It sounds right. I think he'd been two, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many years his career was. I just, look, we don't need to get back into this. I'm a small, small hall guy. Small. Smallest of the small. And only the greats of the great. And if you're going to have Russell up there and Bird up there and Cousy up there, Cowens does not belong with that group. So that's it. That's in a nutshell. But I feel that way about all those teams and all those Hall of Fame things. Oh, by the way, real quick, Ty Law and Richard Seymour, finalists.
Yes. Happy to see that on both, actually.
Are both Hall of Famers?
I lean more towards Law than I do Seymour.
Me too.
But it's close. I mean, Seymour was good.
For how long?
He was still good for a couple of years in Oakland when they traded him.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was garbage in Oakland.
No, he had a good year or two in Oakland.
He may have put up numbers. He was garbage.
How many double teams was he dealing with? Law's a lock. Law should have been in there already.
So Law was one of the great of his position for an extended period of time. I think he's, to me, a no-brainer. Seymour's tougher. You know, he played in this system where it's not like he was a sack guy. So I'm glad they're considering someone who didn't put up huge numbers. He got to Oakland, and I think he put up some numbers, but that was just sort of it. He
18 and a half sacks in 4 years.
Where in Oakland?
In Oakland.
Oh, in Oakland, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's not
52
even that,
games.
It's not even that good. But I thought there was 1 year where he did put up some numbers. Either way, I'm glad they're not considering him on numbers because it shouldn't be just about the numbers. I just thought, you know, I mean, you want to talk about from 01 through like 06, 07-ish, he was great.
He was a force.
Okay, fine. 5-6 years. Maybe that's enough. I mean, and that Terrell Davis had 3 good years and he's in the Hall of Fame. So given the other standards, I guess he is a Hall of Famer. But in the Felger Hall of Fame, he's not in. Tyrell is.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the whole key to that defensive line was him. I mean, as Murray said, how many double teams did he draw that freed up other guys?
Okay, Maz wants nothing to do with Craig Kimbrell. Nick and Lemonster, do you agree?
I absolutely do.
Expound on it, please.
Maz, I wanted to agree with you on Kimbrell. I think he's a bum. He's a chicken-armed bum, and I want him nothing to do with him. I mean, to avoid him like the plague.
Okay, chicken-armed bum, a little strong. Is he going to be Mo Rivera or Trevor Hoffman, a guy who's like elite deep into his career, or is he more like John Papelbon, where there's a shelf life for a guy that throws that hard?
I don't think he's even Papelbon. That's what I'm telling you. That's the part that I look at and I say, I was really disappointed in this guy. I thought when they got him.
No, when I say Pal, I'm talking about length of length of his run.
Yeah. Well, he could be more like Papelbon, sure. Do you realize in his postseason career, he's averaged over 5 walks and his ERA is 4? Like, I don't trust the guy in a big spot.
Here's what I'm saying. I feel he relies on his velocity, and there's going to be a shelf life to that.
Sure.
Where a guy like Hoffman or certainly Rivera.
Precision.
Right. So you could say that guy's going to be an elite closer well into his 40s, et cetera, 30s, 40s. You know, there's a shelf life there with those guys. I don't think Kimbrell has a shelf life. I think he's going to throw his arm out if he hasn't already.
Yeah, he probably is. And again, I don't even care if he still has velocity this year. I don't want him. I don't find the guy to be reliable. It's just, it's too erratic. There's great stuff there. A lot of guys have great stuff. So does Joe Kelly. I don't want him either. See you later. The Dodgers took the cheese on that one. I didn't believe in that bullpen going into the playoffs. Why would I believe in it now?
Agenda Free Friday. Anthony on Cape Cod on Murray's playoff predictions. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, well, it's on that. But if without Richard Seymour, the Patriots might have 0 championships. So, I mean, Richard. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
That's silly.
No, it's not silly at all. That was one of the best draft picks they ever made, and he was a beast for years. But, yeah, I think it's going to be the opposite of what Murray said. I think it's going to be Houston-Baltimore. Baltimore scares the hell out of me. But Phillip Rivers sucks, and I think this is a legacy game for him. I mean, if he doesn't win this game, what a bum. I don't want to ever hear about him again. Now, here's the thing. You can't have it both ways with the Patriots. You can't say, oh, they're going to lose, but are you going to give them a lot of credit when they win? And let me just leave you with a question. If before the season we would have said, hey, the Patriots are going to win the division, have a first-round bye, and be fully healthy going into the playoffs, would you take that? I want all three to answer, please.
Yeah, I suppose I would take it, but...
I think that fully healthy is fake. Brady's not right. Edelman's not right. Gronk is a shell of himself. Like, just because the injury report is clean doesn't mean that they're actually fully healthy.
I can't believe people are taking the cheese on this fully healthy thing.
Well, even if they're fully healthy, they didn't establish themselves as a great team.
Correct.
So they're a 2 seed and they're quote unquote, air quotes, fully healthy. But they, at no point in the season did I look at them and say, this is a great team. It's a championship caliber team. So I guess I wouldn't have taken it. I mean, that's it. I mean, I didn't think they would be either. So they've turned out not to be. But, I mean, what does fully healthy mean if fully healthy wasn't even that good when it was there?
Yeah, listen, you're not getting any complaints from me. If they were to all of a sudden go on some sort of run here to me, it would be a bit of a surprise.
Cam and Taunton, your thought of the day.
Maz, what is wrong with your sport? I mean, I don't get this. Baseball free agency began 3 days after the World Series, which was the day of the Red Sox parade, if yep. everyone wanted to know that.
Correct.
That was 66 days ago, and nothing has happened. We have been hyping this offseason for years. We all knew 4 years ago, boy, Harper and Machado are going to come at the same time. Every other sport, football, hockey, day one guys are signing. Basketball takes about a week, but it's only a week. It's been nearly 2.5 months, and the two biggest free agents have not signed, and they knew their contract offers months ago. Of course they knew. They've known since July. What is going on?
It's so bad. And there's no buzz. You said the NBA takes a couple days. At least there's that intrigue where, you know, Kevin Durant rents a house in the Hamptons and all the teams come and you're reporting out all those pitches. It's like there's drama there. And the team is flying here to meet with Horford, or this team's flying here to meet with them. And it only takes a week, and still it's an action-packed week. Hockey and football, guys are on airplanes at 4 p.m. the day of the deadline. The highest-priced guys are gone in 24 hours, and that deadline hits, and there's news. Bang, bang, bang. Baseball started 67 days ago, and Harper and Machado are still out there.
Yeah. No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing has happened. This is what the game does to you. It's a slow bleed.
It's so bad.
And you would think, you know, coming off the World Series, and again, I'm talking about this market, but there, you know, a little bit of momentum there. People are at least a little interested. You can use that, catapult into the offseason if you have some moves there right out of the gate. And so I'm telling you, I'm coming more to your line of thinking, which is put a deadline in place. This goes back to Dombrowski's theory. Let's say it's December 1st. Okay, you don't have anybody signed by December 1st. You can't sign them until May 1st. Get your ass in gear. I'm tired of waiting.
Done.
Oh, God, it's brutal. Brutal.
And it's gotten worse, because it used to be those winter meetings, that's when the signings happen.
Sure.
So that was in December at some point.
Typically early December.
So, look, I would say by the end of the winter meetings, if you haven't signed by the last day of the winter meetings, you can't sign until after the season starts. April 15th, May 1st, you pick the date.
May 1st. There's got to be a penalty. You miss a month. May 1.
I love it.
That's what this, because it's getting stupid. It is. It's ridiculous.
And the league's leaving money on the table.
Absolutely.
You drum up interest. You do sideshows on it. You get, you know, like all these other sports are starting to monetize their drafts and their free agent periods and all of this. Except, nope, not, of course not in baseball. They got to take their time.
Because they're stupid.
Here's Murray's update. Then we come back with a Bruins Minute here on Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at CambridgeSavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here's Pastrnak at front. They score!
Flying. Drew senses it. I'm just going to rip this puck all the way down off the back wall. And Pastrnak gets behind everybody, picks it up in the right wing circle, brings it to his backhand, and slides it home. Oh, what a great play. Great heads up thinking play. And that's a set play. I mean, that's something that they've talked about.
see that goal last night?
I did.
What a goal. That was brilliant. And Beers is right. I heard Cassie in the postgame. They say that Calgary D likes to stand up at the blue line, not give you free entry into the blue line, so they'll creep up and stand on that blue line. So let's see if we can get a play off the boards behind them. And that was intentional. What a brilliant play.
Absolutely, yeah, fabulous. In fact, I thought Krug had a great pass, too, on the Marchand goal, or the first Marchand goal. Like, he was, you know, for all the grief I give Krug, when he's on his game, he gets stuff like last night.
He was minus one.
Was he really?
Which is like Krug there in a nutshell. He had two brilliant passes on the Marchand goal, you're right.
That's perfect.
Right? Brilliant pass to Marchand to make it 3-2 again in the second period. And then that pass was as good of a hockey play as you're going to see. That was freaking brilliant. And if you didn't, he's well short of the red line, and he slams it off. He takes a slap shot from whatever, 80 feet, off the back dasher, right to Pastrnak in front of the net for the goal. I mean, it's just brilliant. But I think he was minus one. And of course, I can't pull it up just to confirm.
I'll find it.
But I mean, that's just so him.
Murray,
right?
Look it up. I'm sorry. No.
That's just so him. So anyway, Bruins win last night. Good win. That Flames team is good, Maz. I know you were talking about that earlier.
So I just, to me, I looked at, again, I don't watch Calgary Flames hockey all the time. I know what the standings say. And watching them last night, man, they are relentless. That's a good team. Like, there was enough there for me last night to say, watch out for them come the spring if they play like that. They were on their game. They're good.
Yeah, but there were some funky goals that I thought Halak gave up.
Agreed.
And that bank shot that Gaudreau had. But I just think, like, because we didn't know who the hell goalie was until, like, the last minute. It felt like it wasn't confirmed. If that was Rask last night, I feel like it would be all over him.
Halak sucked.
He did.
We don't need to parse words here. He sucked.
I mean, that one he gave up to Gaudreau can't happen.
Horrible. And I didn't like the first one either. No, I thought Halak sucked. You know who sucked worse? Was the Mike Smith dude in the other net. So that's why you won the game, is because Mike Smith couldn't stop a beach ball. So, so this ties into, you know, this is, now here's Rask's chance for real. Because it's not like, you know, Halak's play has sort of backslid a little bit. And Rask has come off a couple strong ones. And here's yet another chance for him to, well, what Cam Neely told us on the day of the Winter Classic. We're out in South Bend. If you missed it, I know a lot of you weren't listening to the radio that day. We talked to Cam. And I think you can just, I'll play the cut here about what they want from Tuukka, what they expect from Tuukka. And you can just tell from the tone and the words that they're waiting for him. They're now waiting for him. And here's yet another opportunity, because it feels like the other guy taking a little half step back, and Rask is playing well. So finally, is it time for Rask to step back up?
Where do you stand on Rask? Give me your thoughts on him this year.
Well, Tuukka's been a little up and down for us, not as consistent as we would like and we expect from him. He knows that. He recognizes that. I thought he had a strong game in Buffalo, which we needed from him. But if you know, he's got to decide if he's going to take the ball and run with it. So we'll see where he goes with that.
And him getting the start today. I mean, you can make the case that Halak's outplayed him this year, yet he gets the start today. I know that's Bruce's call, not yours. But is there something there with it's still your job, Tuukka? You know, is there a bigger message there? Because it's a big game, right? I mean, it's an important game for the guys.
It's an important game, and it's, you know, obviously an outdoor game like this has more magnitude than a regular season game normally does. But, you know, we need Tuukka to step up and show that, you know, he can play a string of games and play well for us. He went on an amazing run last year. We're hoping for another one this year.
You know, the first part where he says he has to decide if he wants to take the ball and run with it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know how you could say it any more clearly than what Neely said there. He's basically saying, look, it's up to him.
So
if Tuukka wants to commit, the job's his.
Here's the point. It's, you know, to this point, they haven't needed him because Halak's been really good, one of the best in the league. But if Halak sort of reverts, you know, water seeks its level there, they're going to get to a point where they're going to need him. They're going to need him. So let's see where Rask is. He didn't play last night, but the other guy wasn't good. And so, you know, I think that's a big one. I'd say just my final Bruins thought is, unlike the Celtics, they're in the exact opposite spot. The Celtics need to make trades to you know, thin out their ranks. They have too many guys. The Bruins, and this is another thing we picked up talking to the guys in South Bend, they have to add. They have to add. The injuries hurt, you know, McAvoy is still one that is worrying me. Kid can't get on the ice and stay on the ice. But even with McAvoy's there, they're still short. And they have to make a deal, and you think they are.
I think they know they have to make a deal. Like, when you listen to, and again, as you said, we talked to the Jacobs, Jeremy, and Charlie. And I get the sense from Neely that, you know, they're going to be making a deal. You have all these young forwards, particularly left shot ones, as Neely pointed out when we talked to him, Heinen, Donato, Bjork, all these guys. And they're not getting any consistent productivity from those players. So you know what will you do when you have to wait for too many prospects? You bundle a couple of them together and you go get yourself a legit proven player, be it a right wing or a third line center. I'd prefer the right wing. I mean, I don't know where you are.
Oh,
on
no,
that
they
one.
Desperately need right wing. Of course. Absolutely. For right next to Krejci. But they need a top six guy either way, but it's preferably on the right side. But they have to add. I mean, I think they've done well. They're tied for the eighth most points in the league. They're a point out of having tied for the sixth most points in the league. Like, that's...
And they're back in third place now, too, right? Because they jumped over Buffalo.
They are. So they've done well to get there without Bergeron for that length of time, without Char for that length of time, for what was going to be an inevitable sort of step back from last year. Like, all those... You add up all those things, and for them to be where they are, I'm pleased. You know, like, I think they've done well to be where they are.
They've hung in there.
Given their roster. They've done well. But they ain't going to be more than this unless they add. Or someone comes out of nowhere that all of a sudden Ryan Donato or Heinen or some one of these guys has a huge second half out of nowhere. If this is it, then this is it. And they're going to be one and done. Or, you know, at most when they get to Tampa. So unlike the Celtics who need to deal to thin the ranks, the Bruins are in the exact opposite spot. They need to deal to add. They desperately need to add. And I think they know it. You'll hear Charlie Jacobs coming back, who sort of confirms that from our conversation in South Bend. We'll do that and get right to your calls on an agenda-free Friday after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you want to make a move? Do you feel you have to make a move?
You know, I think where I sit, my job is really to encourage and support Don and Cam. If they have a decision and they feel like they want to make the move, I'm all for it. I also, I wouldn't be... out of context to share that we've had the discussions that we have this window with Patrice and with David and the centers and the players that we have, and it's not going to last forever. So, and we have a number of young kids that are coming up. I've got reports from the World Juniors in Western Canada. Just about, we've got a player on just about every national team that's doing quite well. So, I think there's an opportunity there. It doesn't invite you, Michael. I'm not inviting you to get back on talk radio or get back to Boston and say, Charlie Jacobs said we need to make a trade. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I support whatever management decides to do, and we have had this context discussion about our window.
So, again, I've gotten back to Boston. Charlie Jacobs says they have to make a trade. He doesn't say that, but I do find it interesting that he brings up the window. You know, we didn't ask him about the window. He brings up the window. And that's interesting if they're going to approach it like that. Bergeron, Chara, I don't know if you include Krejci, Rask. Like,
I mean, they include Krejci. Like, didn't that surprise you?
He sure did. Yeah, he sure did. So I wonder if there's a little bit of urgency there on the part of the Bruins. They definitely have to add. Definitely. Right shot forward for the top six. Just trying to tie Anderson in the hallway. They have too many left shot D. But, you know, oddly enough, I look at their depth chart on D. I don't love it, but they've been fine. They're great in goals against. Great. It's not just the goaltending. Like, they played good team defense, and like I've always thought, D, they just, you know, can never have enough. You always need more. They need more. Their depth chart isn't good enough, but it's been totally fine. It's up front, and they can't score.
Last night felt to me more like last year was. right? Like, it was a little more open. They scored some. Like,
Calgary can play up front.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
They are good.
Boy, they're dynamite. That's a good team.
The best team in the West. So it was a good win last night, you know, especially since your goaltender didn't play that well, coming off that Winter Classic. Could be easy letdown, et cetera. So anyway, those are your Bruins thoughts. Back to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday. We've got Peter and JP on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, guys, 2 points and a caveat. I think they're better off without Kyrie Irving. And I'll just give you 2 sets, okay? They played 19 games in the playoff last year. The last 20 games, they were 10 points better defensively last year, okay? This year, when Kyrie takes 16 or less shots, they're 15-4. When he takes over 17 shots, they're 6-11. And when you go into this argument, are they better without Kyrie or with Kyrie? You got to understand that you replace Kyrie. Are they better off with Chris Paul in their lineup than Kyrie? I think yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't know Chris Paul was available, but I'm just going to give you that one take. They're not better without Kyrie Irving. Like, this is not... I used to feel this way, and I was right, about Rajon Rondo. Right? I said this all the time, that you folks overrate Rajon Rondo, and I was right. He's not that integral to your success, and I was right, you were wrong. You're better off without him. I was right, you were wrong. You know, I felt that way about Rajon Rondo. You even heard me say that once about Kyrie Irving, because that guy's legit. He's nasty. Nasty good. So in that league, you don't get better by dealing your best player. So I'm not pulling Rajon Rondo on Kyrie. But I think it is a fact to this point that his brilliance has not translated to the win-loss column.
Yeah, no question. I also think the numbers he threw out there are deceiving. Like you say, well, when he scores, you know, X, the 6-11 or whatever the record he threw out there was. And I would tell you, that's because nobody else is doing anything. Like that on those nights, Kyrie has to step up and get your 40 for crying out loud because nobody else is doing anything. So, like, don't go by those. If they're ideally, if they're playing at their peak, Kyrie shouldn't have to get 35. They got plenty of options to score. If they can get Hayward and Brown to get their asses in gear, and again, Hayward I allow for because of the injury. But if they can get some of that, they'll be fine.
So, to me, I think the issue with Kyrie is sort of an intangible thing that – does he need to be the number two versus the number one? Do guys not follow him? Do guys not want to follow him? Does he not have great leadership qualities? I know he's insufferable to listen to from where I sit. What's he like to listen to inside the locker room? Is there a thing there? Are they better served with having a demonstrative personality next to him or on top? Like that sort of thing. But they have to figure it out, and they haven't yet.
They have a leadership problem, I think.
Rob is in the recliner on the Patriots. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Happy New Year, boys. Felger, I don't want to put words into your mouth, so I believe you said the other day you gave the Pats a 1 out of 6 chance of making it to the Super Bowl.
No, a caller said that they have as good a chance of anyone, to which I said, then, okay, you're 1 for 6 in the AFC. It doesn't sound very good.
Well, I mean, I have a few reasons why that's asinine. By definition of that, by the time you play, they're going to have a 1 in 4 chance.
Right, so look, I didn't say it. I don't believe that they have a good chance as anyone. They have a good chance of about 5 or 6 teams in the whole league, but they have better chances than Indianapolis and the wild card teams. Yes, absolutely.
All right, but so that kind of ruins my take a little bit, but I still expand on it a little bit. So do you know who the last quarterback to win home game was for Kansas City?
Joe Montana.
Was it Joe Montana?
Yep. So I give the Pats at least a 50% chance of having 2 home games to get to the Super Bowl.
It's possible. There's no question about it. I mean, but now see what you're doing is you're telling me how everyone else sucks, which is fine. We can do that. I'm talking about you. I don't think you're great. So I don't think unless you're great or have championship qualities, I just believe those teams are not going to win championships. So that's you. So I think you're going to get tripped up here somewhere. Now, does everyone else, could I say the same thing about everyone else? I guess I could.
I've always hated relying on the other guy to screw up. I know the Patriots have won a lot of games doing that. They've also lost a couple of Super Bowls where teams beat them. So, you know, most notably the Giants and the Eagles for that matter. But, you know, to me, it's about what I've always felt this way, what you can do versus what everyone else can do. If you're relying on the other guy to screw up, there's a chance you're going to get disappointed.
David and Lynn, your thoughts on the NFL playoffs?
Yeah, I think that Baltimore poses the greatest threat to New England for a number of reasons. Number one, there's not an intimidation factor with them as with other teams at Schaefer Stadium or Foxborough. Number two is the running quarterback factor. Flacco was more or less one-dimensional. He was a decent passer, but you knew what he was capable of, and he didn't have fantastic games. Number three is, because of that, Jackson is the second most efficient passers to open receivers at an 89% clip.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop you there before you go too deep. The running nature of Lamar Jackson doesn't worry me because he's run first. Like, I consider that guy a gimmick guy that they'll stifle. I worry about the guy that can throw
to Deshaun Watson
and then run, right? Or, you know,
luck.
You know, even the Mitchell Trubisky, Ryan Tannehill suck bag, but they are quarterbacks. They are. Lamar Jackson is someone in college who ran more than he threw. He's closer to Tim Tebow than he is to one of those guys. I worry about the guy that they, you know, they can go eight in the box against Baltimore, right? They can load up against the running game and treat Lamar Jackson like a running back. I don't worry about that. That's Tim Tebow. I worry about the guy that can do both, even if he doesn't throw very well. Does that make sense to you?
Sure it does. Of course, yeah. I know
they can defend the freaking option. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, Baltimore scares me. Baltimore scares me because I think the defense can come in and bottle you up, and you might be able to contain them for the most part on with your defense because I agree they're limited. But I still think they're physical. I don't think the Patriots are defensively up front or physical. I think they could really smack them around and give them a hard time.
Murray doesn't even like the Ravens getting out of this weekend.
No, I don't. It's going to be the Chargers. That's who you're going to see.
Why?
Well, because they've won three extremely difficult games on the road in Seattle, in Pittsburgh, in Kansas City late in the season. They're getting their weapons back. Melvin Gordon's been cleared. They get Keenan Allen back. They're 12-4 for a reason. That's a pretty deep roster defensively and offensively. And I know Rivers' record in the postseason isn't all that good, and he's been a bad pick waiting to happen. But he was an MVP candidate up until the last three games of the season where interceptions became a problem. But I don't think they're the San Diego Chargers anymore. That team has proven that they got some balls on them this year.
So I'm curious about the Chargers. I'm curious.
They've been better on the road than they have at home.
Take the San Diego out of the Chargers, and suddenly are they a real team? I just wonder. Because I know you think L.A. is still foo-foo land, but it's not. It's not San Diego. San Diego.
Look, honestly, if you asked me to bet, I'd bet the Chargers this week. I'm just telling you that Baltimore comes in here. I don't think it's a great matchup.
Right back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update. No commercials here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.